And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast, the podcast,
it's a podcast. Oh my gosh, look.
Big D and Bubba podcast.
Just look at it. Look at it's that. The podcast. Look at it.
I wish you'd come over here so I just look at it.
This week's podcast is brought to you by our friends at 5-Hour Energy. Did you know 5-Hour Energy shots now come in 10 delicious flavors? New improved taste, 10 great flavors. Have you tried 5-Hour Energy lately? It's funny, the other day on Facebook, I posted a picture of, I had a bunch of different flavors here in the studio that I grabbed. I'm like, which one do I want? Because I was going to grab one like towards the end of the show. I'm like, do I want the pink lemonade, the berry, or the extra strength, or the other one? I forget, the grape. And I'm like, which one do I want? You know? And then I took votes. I put it up on Facebook. I'm like, which one should I drink? And people are like, okay, enough with the commercials. I'm like, this isn't a commercial. I was serious. Now, the thing I just read was a commercial.
Of course.
But the thing I did for the Facebook deal was not a commercial.
It's hard to tell anymore, though, isn't it?
Yes. You know, it's interesting because, like, on Twitter, don't they, like, make them, not make them, but a lot of times they'll, like, put a, like, a SP, hashtag SP or something for sponsored? Have you not seen that?
I don't know if there's a rule that says you have to do that, but
I'm doing hashtag SP.
There should be, because, you know, in magazines and newspapers, they have to have a thing that says this is an ad at the top. When they do something that looks like it's part of the newspaper, but mm-hmm. it's really an ad.
Why does his mic sound weird?
Does my mic sound weird? Hello.
Hold on, yeah, it sounds like it's, you're in a giant coffee mug.
Well, nobody's
speak, now it's
Patrick.
Better.
Check. No. Hey, hello.
Yeah, what'd you do? Fixed it.
Just pressed a bunch of buttons. Uh-huh. You know what? I would like to get some new mic processors. Not now. But I don't like, you know, like you and I, we have good mic processors on ours, and Patrick's, we're talking like shop now, but Patrick's on a different processor, and the same thing with our guest mics, and I don't know if I'm a big fan of these.
That sounds fine now, just before.
It's a matter of, you know, how often do these other mics get used, and
yeah,
how much did it cost, you know?
Why are you on the phone while we're doing
this? I'm listening to a mess. I just got a number that called me from 000000000. So of course I declined it.
The CIA called you.
So of course I declined it, and then they left a message. So I called. They can lower my rate on my credit card.
Oh, so nice.
Yeah. So
I don't
I'm going to call
of those.
Them back later.
You guys get.
I've been
get
getting a
all
ton
all the time.
I don't.
This
know.
Is Rachel from Cardholder Services.
I get anything with an 800 number now. I just don't want to answer because
well,
I know
no,
what it's going to be.
They have local numbers. I had a local number that even had the same like prefix as mine. Like, it looked like a cell phone calling me from in town.
Just somebody you didn't know.
Yeah, so I answer it. Hi, this is Rachel from Cardholder Services. Seriously, Rachel, I hate you. If you know Rachel, tell her to stop calling me.
Was it a recording?
It's always a recording. It's always Rachel from Cardholder Services.
Yeah, I had, mine were like real people, and I'm like,
oh, man. What an awful-looking TV commercial I'm watching right now. I'm just sitting. I'm sorry. We're there talking. It's a
Radio station
radio
commercial.
Station.
And it looks like it was shot in jail.
It looks horrible.
It was shot under fluorescent
Dude,
lights
that
on somebody's phone.
Did you see? I think that was our old studio.
No, it's not.
Oh, they didn't shoot it in our old one?
No.
Oh, that was horrible looking.
Wow.
Anyway. Hey, coming up at the end of this podcast, we're going to have a pretty cool thing. It's one of our songwriter spotlights. This week we have Josh Osborne. He's written all kinds of stuff. Songs for the band Perry, Dierks Bentley, Luke Bryan, Kenny Chesney, Kelly Clarkson, Billy Currington, Sam Hunt. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. Tim McGraw, Craig Morgan. So that'll be kind of cool. So stick around for that.
That was a fun interview.
It was.
One of the things I've been dealing with, as you can probably tell by my voice, is I got strep. I woke up Saturday morning, and it was like I had acid in my throat.
It's the worst. I've had strep several times.
And that's my first.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's bad, because once you get it, apparently, like, you're now susceptible to it.
I open my mouth, and there's all this white stuff all on my throat, and what's that little thing, uvula, that hangs
your
down?
Uvula.
It was covered. Uvula. It looked like it was completely white, and I was like, I just kind of went, This ain't good. So I got
tested. Were you all fevery and everything too?
Not then. I got fevery after that. It took about a day, 24 hours, and then I was like,
"That's the sucky part of strep." More than the fact that your voice is weak and all that, it's the fevers that come with it.
When does it, your voice, like your throat, stop hurting?
You should be fine here, maybe in a day or two.
Because I've been on antibiotics for a week.
Did you get a steroid shot?
No.
Oh, dude, that would have helped you. You'd have been about a day or two ahead.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm like, hook a brother. You got to get over that fear of needles, man.
I would if they wouldn't use a needle. How about this? Why don't you take everything that you put in that needle?
I took a sip of my coffee right when you said that. It almost came out on the keyboard.
Put all that stuff that you put in that needle that you're going to stick in my arm. How about just putting it in, I don't know, a pill and just let me eat it?
Because it doesn't go right into your blood
system.
It doesn't
work that way.
It does work. You're eating it.
It's not the same.
It is. All right. Then give me a thing that I have to lick.
Here's a salt brick.
Lick I would rather get a shot than have to drink something nasty.
Yeah, me too.
Like a liquid nasty, medicine.
Like
I'd rather have a shot.
Barium. Remember, you guys have drank barium before, right?
Awful. You can get it injected into your vein or something. There's another dye that they can inject into your veins. Much easier. Much easier. Pain, that one's a little rough. They have this machine because it has to inject fast into your bloodstream. So they hook up this I remember I had that done for some kind of x-ray. They hook you up to this thing. They put it in your vein, in your arm. And you're hooked up to this big friggin' thing. It looks like a – you know the thing that hangs on the wall when they take your blood pressure?
Mm-hmm.
There's always that big
– it's like a contraption with wires and things or not like tubes hanging
from
it. That's
what it looks – that's what's got the medicine in it. And then it mechanically injects this dye into your veins.
Nope.
Because it only stays there for 45 seconds or whatever until your body starts cycling it out of your bloodstream. So they got to inject it into your veins and then send you through the machine.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, but they come back with a map of your veins.
That's
cool. How crazy is that?
That's cool.
I don't remember what I had that done for. It was 10 years ago, but...
See if you had a heart.
Probably. As it turns out...
He definitely has a heart.
Would you have known? Okay. Can we get this out of the way real quick?
Snip, snip?
Yes. Okay. Let's talk about that.
All right. So
where were you going to go?
I was going somewhere else, but
Go back, we'll go back to the snip, snip. What were you going to say?
Can we get over what you're wearing for the ACMs?
Once and for all, are we going to stop it now?
I decided that I'm going to not do the pirate thing because you guys thought the pirate blouse, as you call it, is just dumb and disrespectful. So you know what? I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do that. I guess
that's the excuse he's making and not, oh my God, it's a pirate shirt.
Yeah, maybe I should dress like a person. I don't know.
Pirates are people too.
I'm not going to wear it because you guys don't like it.
Well, I have I've decided that I'm going to end up doing something more normal and boring and blah. So I don't know. I don't have a sport coat. I know you guys, Big D's having one made.
He had
a tailor come in here and he picked out his cloth. I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? So I'm in panic mode. And I asked Big D, I'm like, are you going to dress up both nights? Just to give you a recap in case you don't get to hear the show and you only listen to the podcast, the ACM Awards presentation of our award for National Broadcast Personalities of the Year is done on Saturday at a separate event. And then, so we have to kind of get dressed up for that. And then on Sunday is the actual award show you see on TV, and we get to go to that too. And we're going to be sitting like right there with Dustin Lynch and, Kenny Chesney and Blake Shelton and Miranda and everybody. And so we kind of have to sort of dress up for that too. And I was thinking for the awards part of it, I would dress more fun and whimsical. And, you guys shot that down.
I told you last week for the TV show Sunday night, when you're sitting on the floor next to all the country artists, if you want to dress in shorts and a t-shirt, that's fine. I care about what you look like in the picture when we're actually getting our awards. Okay? I don't care what you look, but I know your wife is going to want to dress up.
Oh, she is dressing
to go
up.
to the show on Sunday night.
We had her on the show talking about it, and she said, look, I don't care what he wears, speaking about me, I don't care what he wears, as long as I get to wear what I want to wear. And she's going to be dressing up, you know, the whole princess, I'm going to the Oscars thing kind of feel.
This is a big deal. It's a big deal.
It is a big deal. You don't get to go, first of all, every year. You don't get to win it every year. So
you don't get to sit where we're going to be sitting.
Yeah.
If we were buying the tickets.
Pardon me, Faith Hill, can I borrow your chapstick?
Okay. Where are we sitting?
I'm told we're sitting on what's called the stage, which is, it's not on the stage, but it's the place where all the winners are.
Right.
They call that the stage. The tickets cost $600 a piece.
For hours?
For hours. We didn't buy them, just for the record, because we won, so they give you tickets. But that's the level we're at. And even if you have $600, you can't buy those tickets. You got to be an ACM member, and you got to be...
Or a winner.
Or a winner. Yeah, we are members. We could have bought those tickets, but we don't have, you know...
Yeah, we're not going to spend $1,200 a couple.
A couple to go sit on the stage next to Tim McGraw and you know.
We won't even be next to Tim.
I mean, we're going to be close.
We're going to be sitting like by Luke Laird and some of the songwriters.
One time at
Hey, Rivers Rutherford, how are you,
man? What's going on, Billy Gilman?
We'll see Josh Osborne. We'll be like, hey, you were just on our podcast.
I like this game. Who will we be sitting by? Who will we be able to see within, you know, five or six people around us?
Five or six people or five or six rows, because you'll be really close to all of those people. And in the commercial breaks, like, everybody gets up and walks around and shakes hands and talks to, you know, Dirks will go over and say hi to Alan Jackson, and, you know, because he wants to schmooze, you know.
And he wants somebody to take a selfie real quick.
Yeah, you know, like, you'll see all that kind of stuff. It's going to be neat. I actually sat at the CMA Awards. I sat in the 15th row back in 2003. And I mean...
Who are you next to?
I was sitting right behind Alan Jackson's family. Like, he had tickets for all of his daughters and
his
family.
So he made his family sit separate from him?
Well, he,
yes.
You can only get so many tickets in his row.
I like that.
Wow.
He and his wife were sitting there, but like, these kids and all were sitting right next to us. I swear we were three rows behind Brooks and Dunn. They were in like the 12th row.
That's where we all thought they liked each other.
Totally like each other again because they're doing shows. So they're going to go back to that.
I think they like that payday, and that's good. And, you know, good for them. I have no ill will towards either one of those guys because, you know, we absolutely, absolutely love Ronnie and adore him. Think he's like one of the best ever. I mean, he is the coolest guy you'll ever meet.
Here's a neat piece of ACM trivia for you. Who is the most awarded? Who has more ACM awards than anyone else, and also more CMA awards than anyone
Brooks
else?
Brooks and Dunn?
Nope, you're close. You got it half right.
Ronnie Dunn?
Kix Brooks. Brooks has all of the awards that Brooks and Dunn won, which was almost more than anyone else. And he has a radio show, and he's won the same award we've won. I think he's won it a couple of times each. So he actually has more ACMs and CMAs than Ronnie Dunn.
Well, good for him.
Just, you know, weird little trivia stuff.
Hey, Eric Church, can I borrow your sunglasses?
No, you cannot, because he can't take them off.
I'm wearing sunglasses inside.
Eric Church takes his sunglasses off, it's like Superman putting his glasses on. He becomes Clark Kent.
You don't see him. You don't know who he is.
Okay, so...
I don't know what I'm going to wear. I need to figure it out soon because...
What are you
going
to wear
to
the awards, like the Sunday night?
He's getting dressed up, too.
I'm wearing the same jacket.
You're wearing the same jacket with a different shirt?
Yeah.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
You might as well wear it twice. You paid a gazillion dollars to have it made, and it's made in America. It's not being made like by some kid in Vietnam. You're like doing the real deal.
It's not that expensive. I mean, I don't think it's that expensive.
Talking to him about nice stuff, it's like talking to Gunner. Like, he doesn't, you know, I don't know
me?
Why. Yes, you.
Dude.
It's $400 for a custom-made suit coat.
Right. That you're going to wear twice.
No.
And you may wear to church one or two times throughout the year.
Well, at least I'll have it. It's tailored. It'll look good.
There's a line on Mad Men where somebody said to one of the guys, you know, the girl was flirting with him. She can sense the money. And he goes, you don't have to be rich to dress better than you do. I was like, okay, that kind of makes me feel like I should dress a little better than I do. You know, not going to lie, I'm a terrible dresser.
Me too. We all are.
Not me.
But
really? Shorts and t-shirt over there?
Dude, this is stylish.
But that's the thing. Is he's married and he loves his wife. He could dress like that. Nobody cares.
Yeah, that's true.
I can't. I mean, I feel like I needed to step it up a little bit.
You need to, because you're in the game.
Yeah, but you know, I always feel like that is it's false advertising. You know, like this is not who I am. If I wear a suit every day, yeah, I might get more attention from ladies, but it's fake. It's not.
Yeah, true.
It's unless, like the male equivalent of a push-up bra.
Unless you were going to change your style forever. I mean, the beautiful thing is I married my wife, and I met her when I was dressed just like this. You know, and I never really changed it because this is just who I am.
You were like 20 years old, so you could get away with that, you know.
Right, I still am.
Jeez.
It's a state of mind, bro.
I can't get away with it.
Hey, man, I can't wait till you go get your snip. After all that crap you gave me, after all the talking.
Yeah, okay, here's
the thing. After all that, you're going to end up getting it done.
We have to do a follow-up where we find out if, in fact, Kathy talked to Stacy about this.
I'm sure, man. And you know what? We'll never know. They'll deny it.
No, we need to know. We could call them and ask. Who's more likely to tell us the truth, Kathy or Stacy?
I hate this dumb thing.
I don't know, man. When women are trying to protect themselves, you know, one of their own.
Yeah.
It's a different game, dude.
Well, obviously, Bubba's the one dialing. He's calling his wife. But I was thinking we'd call Kathy first.
She will tell me right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sitting here going, why is somebody from work calling me?
Are you calling yourself?
Dude.
How do you drive to work every day? Do you find yourself just parked? Do you find yourself parked in an abandoned parking lot and you're like,
how did I get here?
What's going on?
Wait a minute.
Where's everyone? Oh my God, the building's gone.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, does she lay your clothes out before the night before?
I lay my clothes out the night before.
I guarantee you, if she laid his clothes out, he'd dress better.
Yeah. Somebody actually wrote on Twitter that my wife sounds like Brandy from Joe Dirt.
Hey,
Stace?
Yeah?
Hey, babe. So we're doing the podcast right now, and 12 people worldwide are listening to you. So the question we have is, when all this vasectomy talk started, when a couple days ago Kathy called you, Big D's wife called you, asking about what you were going to wear to the ACMs and all that stuff, did vasectomy talk ever occur in that conversation?
No.
Really?
So she was not an influence whatsoever?
No.
You just started...
All we talked about was the dresses.
Okay. So this was something completely on our own then?
Yeah.
Who did talk to you about it?
I'll tell you what happened is whenever you and I were talking about it on the air, when you were getting yours, that probably we would talk about it at home. Oh, yeah, Big D's getting his vasectomy.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Love you. Bye.
Well, I got to tell you real quick. I got to tell you.
I don't want to talk about this anymore.
This is the greatest day ever.
D is so happy to have someone else in his club.
Man. I'm sweating this.
It's called the Nut Club.
The Nutless Club.
No, they don't take them off. They're not castrating you.
Yes, they remove them.
They might as well.
No, they don't.
They take your testicles off.
I have watched videos online.
They take them off and they put them on a shelf. You get to take them home.
I looked online. I know what it is.
I'm just kidding. She's already got yours.
All right. Yeah.
Oh, just a good testy joke.
I'm going to have to wear a pirate suit now.
Oh yeah.
Yes, please go into your vasectomy
with your
pirate outfit on.
Dude, that would be the best. All right. Love you, babe.
Love you.
Thank you. Bye. All right. So
let me tell you what's gonna happen. You're gonna go in and I think you're going to my place, man. I really think you're going to the same group of doctors.
Because you had a doctor there that did his own.
Yeah, my doctor was telling me about the guy. He goes, "Oh, you know, my partner, he did his own." And I was like, "Oh, that's crazy." And then you just told me the same story that whoever set up the appointment was like, one of the doctors here said did his own. There can only be one. And so here's what's going to happen. You're going to walk in and you're going to sit down and in. The nurse is going to come in, and she's going to hand you a sheet, and she's going to say, go ahead and take your pants off and put this around you and just sit on the bed there that has the sterile paper on it. And she's going to leave. And you're going to take your
pants. Do you have to, like, put stuff through the hole? Is that what's going to happen?
No.
Okay.
No. God, I wish I was there. This would be great. And so
I'm going to periscope it. I'm going to periscope the whole thing.
Yes. I might actually download the periscope app.
Dude, yes, that's the best periscope ever.
I may do it. I mean, is that like violating any kind of
Don't show anything. Periscope. Don't show anything. You're not going to see anything anyway.
Somebody was shaving down there the other day. I flipped on somebody's feed. It was like, yeah, my little thing goes, little tweet that says, you know, somebody's periscoping.
Someone you know is doing that?
It's somebody I follow on Twitter. I'm like, what are you doing? He was doing, like, and I'm like, that's where Periscope went wrong.
So, I think yours will be fine. Honestly, seriously, I think yours will be fine.
Well, think about it. The odds of what happened to you with the complications happening are like 1 in 20, 5%. And so there's two of you here. The chances of it happening to him, too, almost impossible.
Yeah.
Almost impossible.
It's like 1 in 40 that it happens to two of you.
That's practically impossible.
Until it happens.
1 in 40.
1 in 40 is not better than 1 in 20.
Yeah, I'm a little worried because, again, I go back to what I mentioned on the radio earlier, is I remembered the moment that Big D got home and was finally texting. I guess at that point.
No. This is how strongly I felt about it. Bubba was, Bubba had asked me off the air.
We've been talking about this for a long time.
And he said, hey,
are we going to do it or not?
Let me know how, just let me know how it goes. I mean, he was being sincere, and I go, okay, gotcha. So when I'm not even walking well. I'm like, waddling out. I was checking out that because I said, I want to him. I got to get it out right now. I got to let him know so I don't forget it. So I made sure I sent it to you and said right then. And I told you, this was flipping terrible. Don't do this. And that's when I called our bud Peter, who had already warned me days in advance. Your doctor is overselling you. It's going to be way worse than he's telling you. And he was way right.
And then immediately after talking to you, Peter calls me, and he is laughing so hard he can barely breathe.
Well, I was high on, what did I have?
Valium. God knows what else.
And just pain and just, it's a little demasculating, if that's the right word. Yeah.
Yes, it's literally emasculating.
That it really is. You kind of feel like,
like you're less of a man because you're firing blanks.
Kind of, yeah. It's a weird mental thing, man. And don't tell women that you went through it and complained to them. Good God,
you didn't have to birth a child. You never had a baby.
You don't know. Oh, and then they laugh. That's my favorite. Oh, it's so cute. He had this done, and he hurt
it's
him.
So cute.
Oh, it just makes you want to just punk.
It's so cute.
I got it. It's not childbirth. I got it. All right, I understand. But they also whip my heart.
They've yanked your vas deferens out.
So,
like the guy couldn't reach it. He had to get in there and yank it out.
He had to dig down inside my body cavity is what he said.
Let me tell you something, and this is something maybe, I don't know exactly how the girl thing works. If you ever get kicked there or hit with a ball or anything, there is a feeling that goes through your entire body. It's a dull ache that...
Well, it doesn't start as a dull ache.
No,
I'm saying there's that dull ache. Like, can you just bump it? Like, sometimes I'll sit down and like my pants will pinch, and I'm like, oh, and then it takes an hour to fade.
I know, it's weird. It's such a design flaw.
It really is.
I know God did it perfect. He did it on purpose for some reason.
Because he wanted to keep them cool. That's why they're on the exterior.
Make it to where they can't even be brushed against things?
I don't know.
If you're
going
to keep something outside, how about giving it like, an otter box? Give it something that's pretty tough.
Yeah.
I want this thing to have like rubber coating to where it's really protected.
Yeah. Yeah, but that isn't what happened.
No, it's like we have a baby lamb hanging from our legs.
So anyway,
so sensitive and tender.
That's the bad thing is, like, you know, that's the feeling you had for a week.
Yeah.
And it's a terrible, terrible feeling, and that's what I'm dreading.
The pain pills help, though.
You know I don't do the pain pill thing. You know how I am, though. I'll do the initial, you know, whatever they give me at the hospital.
Nope.
Maybe one at home, and then I will try to just force my way through it because I've always been that way. I don't like the pain pills. I don't like any of that. I would rather just – I have a pretty good pain tolerance, and I'd rather just kind of go through it. Now,
give us the extras.
I've never been cut down there, so I don't know. If I'm going to change it, I'm worried. This is scarier than I've had a couple surgeries now, shoulder and also my gallbladder and all that. I was never worried about those.
Child play.
Never bugged me. This
and the great thing is you're completely awake. They're talking to you while you're
putting headsets on. I'm going to have headphones on, huh?
Nope, because they got to be able to talk to you.
No, they don't need to talk to
me.
Hold up a
sign.
Oh,
that's right. There are different rules for Bubba than everyone else. I forget that.
Hold up a sign. Show me, like, a little. I have a little chalkboard there, and you can write me notes, and I'll give thumbs up or thumbs down. You know, like when you're scuba diving, that's how you do it. You have a slate. You write on it. You show the thing. Your bud goes, uh-huh, or uh-uh. That's all I need. I don't want to hear. I don't want that.
Too bad, because you're getting it.
Oh.
You signed
then
up for it?
Then you get to smell your own
smoke. I didn't
smoke.
Sign up for it.
Smell your smoke.
Get to smell your own smoke
and,
when they burn it.
And they're going to charge you money for that.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
That's right.
How much was yours?
Seven something after insurance.
100 or 1,000?
100.
Oh.
That's not too bad. I thought it was going to be more. That's the only positive.
But for $400, you can have your own tailored jacket.
Hey, what's Taylor jacket when you can get Taylor testicles?
That's right.
You know,
he's gonna fit you perfect.
They're gonna fit perfectly.
when are you going in for your first initial thing?
Monday, I go in right after the show. I just looked. It's Monday.
Awesome.
So I'm gonna go in and I'm gonna talk to the doc. And you were telling me to.
Do you know his? Do you have his name? What's the initials? You don't know.
Which one was yours?
You know what? I can't remember
now.
Hold
on, Monday.
That's
Monday.
All right. Dude, the initial one is great because my guy's a pilot, and so we talked about airplanes. And so I figured, you know what? We're just going to talk about airplanes the whole time.
And then all of a sudden, he's going to reach down and grab
purse. I was like, you know what? We're just going to talk about airplanes all the time, and I'm going to get out of here without having him touch my stuff at all.
I'm just going to walk in and say, dude, let's just get this over. I know. I remember what happened. And then he's like, drop him.
Yeah, at the very
out of nowhere.
I got to get going. You got to get going. I'm thinking, dude, that's a win for me. Just pull your pants down. What?
Well, you knew it was coming. I mean, how are you surprised?
I remember I asked him, I said, all the way down?
Oh, it's so great.
He was like, no, I like to fight for it. so I was like, you know, you're probably best just to get it over with.
I think that's what I'm going to do and walk
you know,
in. He's going to start talking to me and go, look, need small talk?
Don't wear underwear. Just go in there with those like gym pants.
Uh-huh.
And then just when they have you wait, you know, they go, he'll be in with just a second.
Don't
pull
wait
your pants
for him
out,
to say pull your pants
completely...
up. When the doctor walks in and closes the door behind him, you just drop him.
No. you take off every stitch of clothing and you wait on him. So
like
that when he walks
kid
in the door.
In a bathroom urinal.
When he walks in the door, you're standing there with no socks, no
like
shirt.
Like an old man in the locker room at the gym, standing there naked.
And
like
he walks in.
Like you belong
there. Now, don't worry about that shocked look he's going to have on his face. You just go straight to it and you go, I got places I got to go. Come on. Get this
over
with.
Did you really
with.
Have to take your socks off?
But your luck,
for
it's
effect.
Gonna for you. But your luck, it's gonna be some kid who's got the wrong door, opens it up, and there you are. Hi.
And then you'll read about it in the paper.
Yeah, you'll be gone.
The paper. That's my dad's the only person who would read about it. All right, so I have something else I want to bring up, but it's sad. Very, very sad. I would like to say this. If you are under the age of 12, turn the podcast off now. If you are a parent and you've got your child near you, turn the podcast off.
Oh God, I don't know if whatever this is, I'm not sure I want to talk about it.
Patrick, you can walk away too. This is a big deal. I'm going to give people time to, you know, get their phone out of their pocket or turn whatever they're off. This is.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. I can't wait.
Again, no kids past this point. You can skip past it and come back to the songwriter spotlight at the end of the podcast with Josh Osborne. So, okay. We're having a big get together for Easter at our house, and Stacy has me doing all these honeydews to get it ready because we're hosting the Easter egg hunt. We're doing this, we're doing that. And I'm out there and I'm shoveling and raking and I'm doing all kinds of stuff and trimming trees. And Frankie's out there helping me, and he turns to me and goes, "Dad, you're the Easter bunny." And I just froze. And I turned and looked at him, and he goes, "And you're Santa Claus, and you're the Tooth Fairy, and I already figured it out."
Please tell me you didn't fight that.
I didn't. I went, "Who told you?" And he said, "I figured it out." And I said, "You know, I was going to tell you when we were on vacation after Christmas. And Mom and I totally just forgot because we were having so much fun to have that talk with you." And he said, "It's okay." He said, "I like it. I think it's cool." He said, of course he couldn't do it because he's so old. He wouldn't be able to get up and move around. And I'm like, okay. He goes, "But, you know, I know Santa's you and it's not real." And I said, "Let me tell you something. Santa Claus is real." I said, "Believe it or not, just like in the Polar Express, you know, Christmas is special and it's fun and it's, I hate using the word whimsical because it was used earlier, but it really is. It's all that and more because you believe, because you are in the thing. I said, "Think of Santa Claus as an embodiment of the Christmas spirit, everything good about the season." I said, "So that's why I still believe in Santa Claus." And he said, "Do you really still believe?" I said, "Yeah, I do." And I said, "And I believe in the Easter Bunny. And I believe in all these good things." And it was an interesting conversation because he's like, "So I can still believe with you and then not have to worry about believing with my friends?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "You can believe in Santa Claus with me and Mom and your sisters. And we're going to still wake up on Christmas morning and have the presents from Santa Claus. None of that's going to stop." I said, "The only time that's going to stop is if you quit believing and quit playing along." I said, "So keep believing and we keep doing all the fun stuff." And he was like, "Cool. All right." And then we went back to raking and everything. And I'm like, "Man, that's my last one. That is my last baby," because we have three. And he went through, I mean, dude, he is nine. He went through his ninth Christmas. And I was so afraid he was going to get told before Christmas. And I was so worried about it that it really stressed me out the entire Christmas season. Once we got through it, I was stoked. But now, you know, I'm kind of sad thinking that that's gone.
It's just part of it's another chapter. It's still good, you know. It's not
here's my problem with it. And again, this is where it's gonna get deep and whatnot, but you know, we tell our kids, you know, Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy and all that, and they're having to believe in all this stuff that, you know, and we help them buy into it wholeheartedly. You know, "You gotta do this, you gotta do that." And then we tell them, "Don't lie to us."
Excuse me.
God bless you, by the way. And we tell them, "Don't lie to us." And you just kind of sit back and think, I know. It has always felt dirty to me. I love the whole idea of it. I love the Santa Claus thought and the Easter Bunny thought and all that, which is why we always, you know, Christmas morning, we go down to the tree and we sing "Happy Birthday, Jesus." And you know, we talk about the reason for the seasons, you know, Easter, Christmas, and all those. And we try to put a lot of emphasis on that. But It just always felt dirty to me.
Yeah. Now, you know what? I like it. I like that you, as a child, you should believe in magic. You know, I just think there's something magical about it. And you know, I don't have any problem with it. My ex-wife doesn't want to do any of that stuff. You know, she does. And I just.
She doesn't want to do the Santa Claus thing and all that. Yeah. Why? Because she didn't want to lie?
No, because
it's childish.
It's too. I don't know. It's a different religion. And she thinks it's un-Christian somehow to, you know, to have the Easter bunny. I'm like, okay, look, I grew up with Jesus and the Easter bunny and everybody got along fine. Okay.
Right.
So I don't, you know, whatever, but I like that. I like the magic of it. I like how excited my daughter gets when she sees that the Easter bunny passed. I mean, it's a huge deal.
By the way, that I have to say something.
What?
That's your Louisiana coming
out.
When
I say pass?
Yeah. Because did Santa Claus pass?
Did Santa Claus pass?
And most people, anywhere other than Louisiana.
I don't know what people say. What do people say?
Did Santa Claus come? Did Santa Claus bring the presents and all that kind of stuff? Growing up in Louisiana, you say pass. Did Santa Claus pass? And people who aren't from Louisiana go,
look at you
Santa
like
Claus died?
Yeah.
It's like the death angel from the Bible.
Yes, he passed. I don't know. Must come from the French.
It must be like a literal translation from.
I usually know because I speak French and took it for 10 years in school. I usually know where it comes from. I don't know that one. So I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, so.
I know that's why we say get down.
Yeah. Get down is getting out of a chariot.
Getting out of the car.
I mean,
it comes
carriage.
From in the old days, they literally got down out of a carriage. So.
So whenever, if you're ever riding in a car with somebody from Louisiana and they say you want to get down and you don't exactly know what they're talking about, they mean get out.
Get out of the car, yes.
Not dance. I mean, you could dance if you want to.
Still a good joke. You guys want to get down? Yeah. Get down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great joke.
Mm-hmm.
You can leave your cares behind.
Well, I'm glad
Thank
we had
you,
this awkward podcast hats. Conversation.
No, this is a conversation we could not ever have on the radio.
I'm not comfortable with the fact that we just had it on the podcast, just for the record.
You know,
I really hope the people with kids really did stop listening.
Here's the thing. We warned you, we gave you that, and it's all good. On the radio, it's totally different because, you know, you don't know if the kid's in their room listening to the radio by themselves or whatever. So we could never have had this conversation anywhere else but right here. And thank you for letting me kind of get it out because I had to tell someone. I mean, the whole thing bugged me. It's one of those life things that you pass through and you go, I wish I could share that with someone.
It's tough, man. It does stink, though.
It does. All right. Are we ready to have the fun stuff again?
Yes, please.
All right. Real quick, we do want to remind you about this is a commercial. See, we're going to tell you right now. The podcast this week is sponsored by 5-Hour Energy Shots. Now comes in 10 delicious flavors. My favorite is grape. Sometimes my favorite is pink lemonade. That part isn't part of the commercial. That part is me telling you the truth. Then, now back to the commercial. 10 great flavors. Have you tried 5-Hour Energy lately?
Hey, our songwriter spotlight today, joining us is Josh Osborne. Hello, Josh.
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're good, man. So I'm looking over this list of songs that you did. Let me see how I grade you. Let's see. Kenny Chesney, Wild Child, Come Over. Okay, that's an A. Billy Currington, We Are Tonight.
That's an A.
Okay, that's an A. Eli Young Band, Dust, Drunk Last Night. Okay. Sam, I'm just going to go through. Sam Hunt, Leave the Night On, Take Your Time, Wake Up Loving You from Craig Morgan.
Wait, you wrote Take Your Time? I thought Sam wrote it.
I wrote it with Sam.
Because he's saying that he wrote it by himself. You know that, right?
Well, he's the artist. He's supposed to say that.
And then my favorite is Casey Musgraves in Merry-Go-Round.
Yeah.
God, what a great song.
You know, my son's favorite song is Wake Up Loving You by Craig Morgan.
Are you serious?
Dude, he listens. He's like on a Craig Morgan kick lately, especially like here in the last month and a half.
Yeah.
And my wife tells me he will wake up and go sit down at the computer by the kitchen table and eat his cereal and watch Craig Morgan videos. And Wake Up Loving You is the one he watches the most.
I love to hear that.
My favorite thing on that song is where the alarm goes off and they put it into the song.
Yes. You know, that was on our original demo.
Oh, really?
I wrote that with Trevor Rosen and Matt Ramsey, who are in the band Old Dominion, that are out now. And
They rock.
excuse me. And Matt did a little GarageBand work tape of that song after we wrote it and put that alarm clock in it.
Oh,
just almost
perfect.
Not necessarily as a joke, but just sort of like, hey, check this out, guys. Like kind of laughing. And then when we went ahead and did like Matt and Trevor did an early Old Dominion cut on it, and they put it on their cut of it. And then when Craig heard it, they kept that too. So
oh, that's cool.
That was one of those kind of fun little things that lasted all the way through.
By the way, I hope they blow up like they have the potential to. Old Dominion have, those guys in the band have written collectively a gazillion songs.
Oh, yeah.
And they've been a part of country music for the last several years. And now they're finally, as a band, they got signed recently. So that's kind of exciting.
They're great too. I mean, their live show is fantastic. Like they're real high energy. Matt's a great singer. And like you said, they're all really good songwriters. They all have songs on the chart right now with other artists.
Do you write with Blake Shelton? I know you did My Eyes.
I actually don't write with Blake. I've been lucky. I had My Eyes, and I have the new single, Sangria, that's coming out on him. But I've never written with him.
Does he write? I don't know. Does he does a lot of...
I think he writes some. I feel like he and Miranda wrote the Over You song that Miranda had.
Yeah, they did. Okay.
But I don't know if he writes a lot.
I would think that would be just a really frustrating time. trying to write with Blake would be like, okay, all right, can you sit down? Can we do this, Blake?
Can you sit down?
Okay.
Just
all
sit
right.
down.
Yeah, that's a squirrel outside. Okay, come on over here now. Josh Osborne is our guest. So you got a guitar. You going to sing some for us?
Yeah, it depends. What do you want me to sing?
Why don't you pick?
I mean, you have a really great song about one song that...
You mean a great story about a song?
A great story about a song, yeah.
Well, you know, the song that really got everything going for me, the first number one hit I had was Come Over with Kenny Chesney. And I had written that song with Sam Hunt and Shane McAnally. And at the time, Sam was working with a different producer. And so we wrote that song for Sam. And it was sort of him branching out of the sound, like starting to find his voice. And... the producer at the time said, man, I like this song. It just doesn't fit Sam. You know, I don't think we can use it for the project. And it was around Christmas time, and we had left for the holidays. And I remember saying to my wife, I was really frustrated by that. I was like, I really love this song. I think it's got a cool thing to it. And they're saying it's not right for Sam. And so, you know, if you write it with the artist and it doesn't work for them, I don't know what's going to happen to this song. And
you thought it was just going to die on the vine and that was it.
Pretty much. And so just by pure happenstance at the time, Sam was working with the same manager as Kenny Chesney. And so the manager had sent some of Sam's stuff to Kenny, not to pitch him songs, but just to sort of say, this is what Sam's working on. We're kind of excited. He's getting some new sound to what he's doing. And when Kenny heard Come Over, he came back and said, I want to cut this song. Can I have this song? And so I remember coming back for New Year's Eve. Shane was having a big party, a New Year's Eve party at his house. And my wife and I went over there and Shane goes, you're not going to believe this. And he played me a voicemail from Kenny saying, hey, if it's not going to put Sam in a hard spot, I really want to cut Come Over if Sam's okay with it. And Shane's like, can you believe this? And I said, I feel like Sam's going to be okay with this. So
yeah, that's like a huge Christmas present.
Exactly.
Man.
And wow. So that one, I'll play a little bit of that one.
That one paid some bills for a while.
It sure did. Well, you know, the first hit basically just gets you out of debt.
Yeah.
And then you got to hope to have another one.
I turned the TV off, turned it on again, stared at the blades of the fan as it spins around. Captain never cracked, the clock is wide awake, talking to myself. Anything to make a sound. I told you I wouldn't call. I told you I wouldn't care. But baby, climbing the walls gets me nowhere. I don't think that I can take this bed getting any colder. Come over, come over, come over, come over, come over.
I have a question about that song. And I meant to ask it whenever we talked to Shane about it.
Yeah.
The whole come over, that part. Was that always meant to be there, or was it like it was supposed to be pretty at one point and come over?
No, it was, it ended up being an accident. Again, Sam, his instinct, this was a very early Sam's instinct paying off. We had a lot of that song. We pretty much had the song written. And we had those melodies. Sam had those phrasings in the verse is what we started with. And we thought, you know, it's a simple title, but maybe it's just come over. So originally the end of the chorus was, bed getting any colder, come over. That was it. And so we finished writing the song. We were putting the work tape down on the song. And at the end on the outro, just as an instinctual thing, as a tag, Sam went, come over, come over, come over, come over. And he sang it like five times in a row like that. And we stopped playing on the work tape. And Shane and I were both like, what is that? Like what, he goes, well, I just thought it might be a tag or something. I won't do it if you don't think it works. And we were like, no, we think that has to happen every time.
Yes.
Like that has to be the hook of
it's
the song.
It's like a Goosebumps moment. You go, that's yes, it. That's it the, is. That's like the missing piece.
Exactly. Because, you know, it's come over is that idea has been written before. And even that title's probably been written before. But sort of to add that urgency of the guy pleading with her.
Don't say that, by the way. Marvin Gaye's family may come after you.
Oh yeah, no kidding.
This just in, Marvin Gaye's family. This says, come over sounds a lot like Marvin Gaye's song. Get over here.
Josh Osborne is our guest, singer, songwriter spotlight. We'll come back and talk about, there's a couple of songs that I'm really personally fascinated by. Josh has written for, a ton of folks, and one of them being Casey Musgraves with Merry-Go-Round. And I love that album, and I love Casey, and I feel that she's one of the artists, and I feel like all of her songs are exactly, I don't even know if she's really this way, but it comes off as she does live kind of like in a trailer park, and she works out as a waitress, and when she finishes up her shift or in the break, she goes in the back and smokes a cigarette wearing her white apron
and with sings all the a song
other, with all the other girls, and is... Do you take that into account, like their persona of who the fans think they are when you write songs for them?
I think you can with certain artists. The thing with Casey is she is that. Casey is very true to herself. So you write songs with Casey, you're going to write things that she knows and things that she, very much like what you're saying, her persona and her actual personality are not that different. And so with Casey, we're just trying to write things. And again, that was her first album. So we went into that album without a lot of preconceived notion of what she was. So I think that gave us a lot of freedom. And Merry-Go-Round in particular, that song, Casey's from a small little town in Texas. And Shane McAnally's on that song as well. Shane's from a small little town in Texas. And I'm from a little coal mining town in eastern Kentucky. And so that song sort of became a collective conscious song.
I did too. Well, listen, everyone grew up in a small town.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we all kind of go, oh, yeah, you know. Right. And it's not just this song, but a lot of those songs on her album, you know, talking about, you know, hey, don't come over, you know, and ask me who's cutting my grass. I won't ask you if your husband found a job. Exactly. Those kind of lines are so – I was telling Kathy, my wife, about it the other day. I said, there's something so – it's weird, but it's so relatable. And – you know, it's just, I don't know. I love listening to her stuff and your stuff because I didn't know it was you.
Well, and that's, and again, I have to give a lot of that credit to Casey. And Merry-Go-Round in particular came from a real, you know, there are certain songs, I don't think you could make them up, the concept or what becomes the hook of a song. We wrote that song on a writer's retreat in Texas, and we were trying to get some stuff for Casey's record. Miranda had just cut Mama's Broken Heart, which Casey and Shane and Brandi Clark had written. And that was going to be a big cornerstone of Casey's project. So upon losing that song, it was like, okay, she needs to do like a trip or something and try to get a few songs just to get something like a bedrock to start building a project on again. And we went down to Texas, and it was around the 4th of July. And Shane is from that area too. And so Shane's mom was having a big cookout. And a bunch of Shane's friends are around the swimming pool, and everybody's having a good time. And one of Shane's friends asked Shane's mom, you know, the house down the street, there's a bunch of cars outside, like all parked in the driveway. Do they run a business out of there? Are they having a party or what? And And Shane's mom says, you know, they're selling Mary Kay or Mary Jane or something out of there. I don't know what they're selling. And from her saying that, we were like, you know, your radar goes off and goes, man, there's something in that. Yeah. And we all started talking about how many different ways we could use Mary, in how many different contexts we could use it, and then how we could relate it to not being a Mary song. You know?
Now, is that kind of the same thing, like you find a trigger phrase like in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my eyes are the only thing I don't want to take off of you.
Right.
It sounds like a horrible pickup line.
Exactly.
But it works in the song.
Right. And that song was another one where it was sort of, we had that line. Like I had that hook line written down in my phone. And
did somebody say it to you or something? Did you hear it?
You know, this happens a lot of times. I had heard another song that I didn't know and I misheard their lyric. And I thought they were going to say that line because the whole song seemed like it was setting that line up and then they never said it. Like, their hook had nothing, was not even at all similar. And I just remember in my brain going, man, that's just laying there.
They like, missed that.
Yeah. Like it's just there and they didn't do it. And so I just wrote that idea down on my phone and, you know, months go by and then you're cycling through things. And, I wrote that with Andrew Dorff and Tommy Lee James. And, Tommy is, first of all, Andrew's very gifted lyricist, and Tommy's very musical. And I said the very same thing you just said. I said, I love this line. I think it's clever. I think it could be sexy, but it could also be very creepy. And like, if this is done in the wrong way, and Tommy started playing that really light music, and mm-hmm. he said, if the chorus was just super simple.
And it just feels like, to me, it feels like a Conway Twitty song. No, it really does. Like,
I agree.
Conway,
that's a good one.
Conway had the thing. He could turn the sexy on.
That's right, because if you overwrite that hook, it gets super creepy, but Tommy just started playing the come a little closer, come a little closer, come a little closer. Girl, the way you look tonight, my eyes are the only thing I don't want to take off me. Like, you do it that way, it sounds sweet and sexy, and it doesn't mm-hmm. sound like he's stalking the woman.
It helps that Blake Shelton is singing it. Like, if I that was singing too. It would be yeah. really, really creepy.
Yeah. Yeah. People are used to Blake's sense of humor now, and it all works.
That's true. Yes.
Well, where can people follow you online? Are you doing, do you have an online presence and all that? Or?
You know, not really. Not really. I mean, I do, you know, I do Twitter. I'm on Twitter.
Where do you at?
Oh, my Josh Osborne.
Oh,
my Josh Osborne.
You know,
yeah.
It's trying to be funny. It's one of those things that seems less funny every time you hear it.
So. At the time, it's the
at the
funniest
time
thing.
It's like,
it's oh my great. God,
I'm
great.
So clever. Yes, and then every time you tell someone, you cringe a little bit more.
Yeah, notice it. No, I ask you, what is it again?
Oh my Josh Osborne.
And I was going to see if he got quieter, and he did. He actually went every time he said it, you go, oh my Josh Osborne.
It's oh my God.
Josh Osborne, a part of our songwriter spotlight. You can check it out online, bigdandbubba.com, for the entire interview. Josh, good to see you, man. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, thank y'all.
Super talented. Great stuff.
Thanks for having me.
Again, it's all there linked at bigdandbubba.com.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.